Have you ever wondered what it must have been like for Mary, having to travel to a new place to have her baby and not knowing where she was going to stay? I met an amazing family once who told me a story which helped me to imagine what it really must have felt like to be Mary and Joseph. It's the early summer of 1999. Start of half-term holiday, and we're living in Sheffield. There is a war fighting at war taking place in Kosovo, and the government here has said that it will offer places for refugees to live who want to flee from that war. Sheffield City has prepared a place of welcome for some of these refugees using an old and empty school that was due to be demolished and turning classrooms into places where four or five families could live for a while. I'm going in to see one of these families. The mother is a petite lady. She's wearing oversized joggers and a great big baggy t-shirt. Her hair is covered in a headscarf and she's got beautiful black hair. She looks very tired. But she is focusing not on her tiredness, but on her newborn baby that she's holding in her arms. The baby is wrapped in white swaddling clothes, swaddled up in a sheet to hold the baby tightly. Baby has a shock of black hair like her mum, and she has some beautiful embroidered ribbons around her forehead. To one side is her dad. He's tall and thin. He's looking a bit shell-shocked. So many things have changed in the last 24 hours. I ask the mum how she's doing. Is she sleeping? Is she uncomfortable in any way? And what about the baby? Is the baby feeding all right? Is the baby sleeping? And through an interpreter, she tells me the story of how they come to be in Sheffield. They lived in Kosovo, in a village far away from big towns. It's a beautiful village. She tells me about the people who live there and the houses they lived in, the little school that she'd hoped her child would go to, the river and the bridge over it. But they know that the fighting is getting closer, and they've made plans that if it looks like it's going to get to their village, that they will leave because they're frightened of what the army have been doing. And one night, the knock comes in the middle of the night. A neighbour comes to tell them that the next village seems to have firing going on it and big gunfire. And they decide it's time to leave with many others from their village. They grab a few things, some warm clothes, some food, some water, and very, very few possessions because they know that they're going to have to carry them and walk quite a long way. They run out of the village, across the fields, and up to the wooded hillside on the edge of the valley. And for the next, they're not quite sure how many, 7 or 8 or 10 days, they walk, mainly at night, whole group of them from their village. They walk at night because it's safer than walking in the day, and it's also very hot in the day, so it's cooler to walk at night. They get to the border with a country called Macedonia, and they have to wait. They have to wait some days to be let through to get the paperwork to allow them to leave Kosovo. They tell me that the soldiers were not particularly kind to people there, but eventually they get through, and then they get transport that takes them to their new temporary home. A tented city set up by the United Nations Refugee Council. They don't want to stay in there whilst their child is born because they would like hope for their child, a new future. So they apply to be refugees in another country if a country will accept them. One day they are told that a country has accepted them, and they and about 180 others travel to an airport where they wait again for a long time for a plane. And late that night, they arrive in Manchester. Time for more waiting. They all have to be individually talked to, and they have to do paperwork to prove who they are. But eventually, they're allowed through and onto one of the buses that's going to take them to Sheffield. There are six buses, and each of them has got a nurse on it. And they go through the night travelling between Manchester and Sheffield on what is known as the Snake Pass. It's a big windy road and it's a bumpy road, particularly in an old coach. On that journey, the nurse on the coach that she is on notices that this lady is getting ready, that her baby is going to come very soon. So she spends time, doesn't speak any of the same language, but holding her hand and calming her down. Shortly after they get to Sheffield, they go to the hospital and her baby is born there. Today, they are back in the school that's going to be their new home for a little while, and they are celebrating. They are celebrating because their baby daughter is a day old, a new sign of hope for them that there will be a better future and a better life for their daughter. I asked them what they'd called their daughter. The name they gave was a very English name. They'd named their daughter after the nurse who had held the mother's hand, stayed with her all the way through the birth of this child, and then accompanied them back to what was going to be their new home. And I asked her about the beautiful ribbons on her daughter's head. These were the only things that were not essential that they'd grabbed when they left their home. They'd been made for her by one of, I think, her grandmother. They were traditional in her family as a gift for a new baby, and they reminded her of home and the people she'd left behind. When I hear that familiar story of Mary and Joseph travelling to Bethlehem and having their baby in a place that kind people offered to them, I remember this family. I remember their bravery and how much hope they saw in the eyes of their beautiful new daughter.